I'd like to turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Book of Ruth, chapter 1. I love the book of Ruth. I think it's very, very rich in many truths. It's not a book that I preach from all that often, but what a wonderful story that unfolds. We'll begin reading with verse 15, reading through verse 18. And she, that would be Naomi, said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law," that would be Orpah, "is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return there, return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw, that is, when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her, or she ceased trying to convince her to stay in Moab. In chapter 1, verse 1, we see that the book of Ruth is set in the distressing context of the book of Judges. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. So we have the time frame. And you read the book of Judges, you get some idea what was going on during Ruth's time. It was during this time of rebellion and waywardness and faithlessness and permissiveness and immorality and idolatry. That's sets the stage for the book of Ruth. We see also here in verse 1 of chapter 1, there was a famine in the land. So it was a time of great and continuous physical need, time of great suffering. Also in verse 1 of chapter 1, we read of two places that the book is set in. There's Bethlehem, Judah, which means the house of bread and praise. And there is Moab, the son of Lot, through incest, relationship with his daughter, and Moab, the enemy of Israel. In our text, we read of Naomi. She's about to return to Bethlehem, Judah, and her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, desire to go with her to Bethlehem, Judah. And our text tells how Orpah ended up staying in Moab and how that Ruth was determined to go with her mother-in-law to Bethlehem, Judah. We read in verse 18 that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. That is, she was very resolute. She was very determined. She was single-minded. She was unwavering. She wanted to go to Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and the house of praise, which was in Canaan, which we spoke upon this morning. The subject tonight is steadfastly minded for God's best. And again, Canaan represents God's best. Here, Bethlehem, Judah, house of bread, house of praise, represents God's best. First of all, we want to just look at the general background of the story. It begins with spiritual misdirection. In verse 1, we read of a certain man. Verse 2, we are introduced to that man. His name is Elimelech. His name means God is my king. His wife is Naomi. Her name means pleasantness. They have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And this Hebrew family lived in Bethlehem, Judah. Again, the house of bread and praise. What a wonderful place to live. However, they lived there in a very challenging time when the judges ruled. Very difficult and trying time because there was a famine in the land. We're not told anything about the famine. We're not told how long it lasted. We're not told anything. But at some point during the famine, Elimelech and his family, no doubt feeling the pressure and the trial of a famine, leave their God-given inheritance in Canaan to seek satisfaction in Moab, to seek satisfaction in the ungodly, idolatrous, pagan land of Moab. Instead of trusting God in Bethlehem, Judah, Elimelech, again, God is my king, and Naomi, pleasantness, take their sons and they head in the direction of Moab. In doing so, they leave the place where God would provide for them, Bethlehem, Judah. They left the Lord's land to go to Moab. We could say that it is better to deal with famine in Bethlehem, Judah, than to what appears to be promising in Moab. If you have to go through a famine, you want to go through it in God's place. They would have been much better off, of course, staying in Bethlehem, Judah, and God would have provided. We read in verse 1 that they went to sojourn. Speaks of something that is short and temporary. They didn't intend to live there. They just went to sojourn in the land of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. They didn't go there because they needed to. You never need to go to Moab. You never need to. You never need to leave Bethlehem, Judah. For Naomi, in verse 21, said, I went out full. So they didn't leave because they were starving. She said, I went out full. They left because they were afraid they might starve. But they went out full. And even if they were going to starve, let's say God let them starve. It's better to starve in Bethlehem, Judah, than it is Moab. It's better to starve, it's better to suffer in God's place than Moab. Notice again that Elimelech planned only to sojourn in the land of Moab. Long enough, I'm sure, to feed his family. Perhaps that's the only reason he wanted to go. I just want to feed my family. Wanted to do what was right for his family. But you never do what's right for your family by leaving God's place. You never do what's right for your family leaving the house of bread and praise and heading to Moab. I'm sure that Elimelech thought that he was fulfilling his responsibility in seeking to provide for his family. But you do not fulfill your responsibility by leaving Bethlehem, Judah, and going to Moab. Elimelech, no doubt, thought that he could benefit his family by leaving the house of bread and praise and heading to Moab. But you don't benefit your family or yourself or improve your future leaving the house of bread and praise and heading to Moab. I do not doubt that Elimelech had good intentions. Do not doubt that he loved his family and he had good intentions in heading to Moab. But it doesn't matter what your intentions are. It's never a good idea to leave Bethlehem, Judah, and head toward Moab. Now, Moab would be about 30 to 60 miles upon your geographical location in Bethlehem, Judah, or Moab. And such a trip would consist of 7 to 10 days at that time. So it was not an easy trip by any means. And you see Elimelech, God is my king, Naomi, pleasantness, and there they are with their two sons, and they're headed toward Moab. Filled with hope. Filled with hope. And what a sad picture to see the four of them heading to Moab. In the latter part of verse 2, we read even sadder words. We read they came into the country of Moab. You can't come into the country of Moab if you never head in that direction. So they headed in that direction long enough. They continued in that direction long enough to bring this result. They came to Moab. You go long enough toward Moab, you'll end up there. And that's what people just don't seem to understand today. You go in a direction long enough, you'll end up somewhere that you don't want to end up in. And the story just keeps getting sadder. In verse 2, and continued there. And continued there. We don't know how long they continued, but it was a good while. Going on in the story in verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Elimelech, God is my king, did not die in the house of bread, in the house of praise. He died in the land of Moab. We're all going to die unless the Lord comes first. And I'd much rather die in Bethlehem, Judah than Moab. Again, notice verse 3 concerning Naomi. And she was left. Due to his death, she was left. And her two sons. Not left in the house of bread and the house of praise, but left in Moab. We read in verse 4 that her sons, they begin to settle down in Moab. They took them wives of women of Moab. This is what God led Joshua to warn the people not to do. And God used Moses to warn them of the same when they came into the land of Canaan. But they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, not Oprah, but Orpah. And the name of the other, Ruth. And then notice what it says. And dwelled there. They're not dwelling in the house of bread and praise. They're dwelling in Moab. About 10 years. So there they are for about 10 years. We then read in verse 5 that Mahlon and Chilion died. They die. Then we read verse 5, and the woman, that being Naomi, was left of her two sons and her husband. There it is again, left. Left not in the house of bread and praise, but left in Moab. So now we have three graves in Moab. Naomi's husband and her two sons. And there's Naomi, still living in Moab, dealing with the sorrow and the heartache. And we all have to deal with sorrow and heartache. But she's dealing with sorrow and heartache not in the house of bread and praise, but in Moab. Sorrow and heartache's going to come. But I'd much rather deal with it in Bethlehem, Judah, than Moab. Reading on, we see that Moab was, as you read on in the story, you see that Moab was a place that was a disfiguring place. It left terrible marks. When Naomi finally returned home to Bethlehem, Judah, her old friends and acquaintances, in chapter 1 and verse 19, asked with a tone of shock and pity, "Is this Naomi?" They couldn't hardly believe. She looked so much different than when she left. Moab will age you quicker than Bethlehem, Judah. So is this aged and weary woman the Naomi that we knew? And I'm sure they would ask, "Where's Elimelech?" And she would tell that story. "Well, where's Mahlon? Where's Chilion?" And she would tell that story. You see, there were a lot of scars from Moab. Remember that. If you ever end up in Moab, you might return to Bethlehem, Judah, but you won't return the same way. Moab will leave its scars. Moab was a place of emptiness. This family living in Bethlehem, Judah, when there was a famine in the land, left Bethlehem, Judah. Again, not because they were starving, but because they thought they might. And again, she says, "I went out full." Even in famine in Bethlehem, Judah, we had plenty to eat. I went out full. The house of bread and praise, she thought, it seemed to them when they left that Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and praise, would become a place of emptiness. And that the wicked land of Moab had more to offer than Bethlehem, Judah. Such is never the case. The world never has more to offer than God. Never. So they left the house of bread and praise for a place that would prove to be a place of terrible emptiness. I went out full, but she didn't come back that way. Then we want to get to our main point, is Ruth's resoluteness to get to God's place for God's people, which is Bethlehem, Judah. In verse 6, we read that of Naomi that she arose with her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, that she might return from the country of Moab. Why did she decide to do this? Well, it goes on to say, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. She had heard how that God in a miraculous way fed the people in Bethlehem, Judah. They didn't have to leave. God would have taken care of them. Notice verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. So now they're leaving Moab, and they're on their way to the house of bread and praise. And Naomi tells her daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, you return to your homeland. You stay here. This is where you belong. I have nothing to give you. I have no more sons. I have nothing to give you. I have nothing to offer you. She paints a very bleak picture. In verse 12, she says, turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that at the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And then notice verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. Sadly, it did not take much convincing for Orpah to turn back to Moab. All she had to hear was, Naomi has nothing else to offer. And she decides, you know what, Moab's not so bad. Notice verse 15. Naomi says to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto the people and unto her gods. What terribly sad words. And she says to Ruth, return thou after thy sister-in-law. But Ruth could not be persuaded to stay in Moab. Notice verse 16 and 17 again. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. And she goes on, wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you die, I'll die. Wherever you be buried, I'll be buried. And she's stressing her commitment to go wherever Naomi is going, which was Bethlehem, Judah. And then we read there in verse 18, she was steadfastly minded to go. She had made a commitment that would extend all the way to death. She devotes her remaining days to get to Bethlehem, Judah. And what she's saying there to Naomi is, I will not turn back. She is fully committed to get to Bethlehem, Judah, and she would not look back. It's a sad mistake for God's people to look back. We need to be fully committed to go forward and not look back where we came from, Egypt. We need to be a people so committed to living in the house of bread and praise that we never look back to the world. Never look back to where we came from. Christ spoke of that about putting your hand to the plow. Naomi and Ruth are now on their way to Bethlehem, Judah. And along the way, in spite of the many difficulties, in spite of the many challenges, Ruth was steadfastly minded to keep going, to keep going to God, to the house of bread, to the house of praise. Nothing could deter her. She was steadfastly minded. We read in verse 19, and they went until they came to Bethlehem. Again, you go long enough, you continue long enough in a direction, you'll get there. That's what happened when they came to Moab. Now it's the reverse. They came to Bethlehem. Whatever they went through along the way, it's now worth it all. They're in Bethlehem, Judah. And once they arrive in Bethlehem, Judah, as you read through the book, you learn many things concerning Bethlehem, Judah, which ought to be, which serves as an incentive to you and I to be steadfastly minded, striving to always live in Bethlehem, Judah, God's place for God's people. Striving to live that Canaan life, that salvation life. So why don't just notice quickly some things about Bethlehem, Judah. Things that ought to stir us to be steadfastly minded, to always be heading in that direction. Notice verse 22. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. The beginning of barley harvest. We need to be steadfastly minded to stay on the way to Bethlehem, Judah. Why? Because there's bread for our soul there. There's no bread for our soul down in Moab. There's bread for our soul in Bethlehem, Judah. And we have to be steadfastly minded. I want the bread for my soul. I want that which will feed my soul. And I'm not going to be deterred. That's how Ruth was thinking. The world, of course, is a place of filth. It's a place of wretchedness. And all the paths of the world lead away from God to some degree or another. Lead further and further into spiritual bankruptcy and deeper into the imprisonments of the world. And living in the world, just if that's where you put your stakes, you're going to have a life of misery, a life of bitterness, and a life of restlessness. But in Bethlehem, Judah, God has provided bread for our soul. We ought to be steadfastly minded to stay there. And if we ever leave there, we ought to be steadfastly minded to get back as quickly as possible. It's God's place for God's people. God knows you and I. He knows our circumstances. He knows our every care. He knows our every burden. He knows our every difficulty. He knows our every problem. He not only knows these as we have them, He knows what we'll face in the future. He knows our every trial. He knows our every temptation. He not only knows my trials and temptations today, He knows my trials and temptations a week from now, 10 years from now. He knows them all. He knows every battle. He knows every struggle. He knows every obstacle. He knows every doubt that you and I have or ever will have. He knows our every sin. He knows our every emotion that we feel. He knows our present condition. He knows our present need. And in the midst of it all, He has what we need. He has the bread that we need. And we need to be steadfastly minded to get to that place where there is bread for our soul. Never, ever, ever exchange spiritual food for physical food. And that's what they did when they went to Moab. We need to be steadfastly minded to stay on the course to Bethlehem, Judah, because that's where the blessings of God are. All that Naomi had to show for Moab was a dead husband and two dead sons and shattered dreams and bitterness and emptiness. That's all she had to show for it. But in Bethlehem, Judah, God's place for God's people, there was a loving master to work for. Boaz. There was a worthwhile cause to be involved in. May I say, there are no worthwhile causes in Moab. The worthwhile causes are in Bethlehem, Judah. Don't leave there. Be steadfastly minded. We need to be steadfastly minded to stay on the way to Bethlehem, Judah, because it is there that our Master has a table set for us. We read in chapter 2 and verse 14, "And Boaz said unto her, Ruth, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." May I say, she would have never experienced that in Moab. She had to get to Bethlehem, Judah, where Boaz was, to sit at his table. And she sat beside the reapers, and he, Boaz, reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. So it is a place where God has a table set for us. In Moab, she fed on the husks. In Bethlehem, Judah, God's place for God's people, there was a table prepared by Boaz. And there was a place at that table for Ruth. And there was sustenance, and there was refreshment, and there was fellowship with Boaz. She didn't have that in Moab. Oh, I know there are people today who would have you to believe that they can live in the world and have as much fellowship with the Lord as they did before they lived in the world. That's a lie. And if they believe it, they're deceived. You have to go where Boaz is if you're going to sit at his table. So we need to be steadfastly minded to get to that place. We need to be steadfastly minded to stay on the way to Bethlehem, Judah, because this is my favorite part of the book. There was handfuls of purpose for her in Bethlehem, Judah. We read in chapter 2, verse 16, "And let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So Boaz instructs the reapers. Boaz is a type of Christ, of course, to take the sheaves and purposely drop them for her. Purposely drop that which will be a benefit to Ruth. That which will be good for her. Purposely drop it right in front of her. That which will profit her and that which will feed her. Drop it on purpose. Right in front of her. He instructs the reapers, let these things fall where she is, where she can glean them. You see, in Bethlehem, Judah, God has special things for us. God has very special things for us, and He drops them on purpose, right in front of us. All we have to do is bend down and gather them up. In Bethlehem, Judah, dropped on purpose and with purpose from the very hand of God, are precious things. Things that will be of great help to us. Things that will be of encouragement to us. Things that will strengthen us. Things that will comfort us and suffice us. Things that will prepare us. Things that will instruct us and assure us and reassure us. Things that will draw us and things that will bless us. Notice in verse 17, "So she gleaned in the field until evening." She didn't do that in Moab. She did that in Bethlehem, Judah. There was abundance. We need to be steadfastly minded to stay on the way to Bethlehem, Judah, because that's where Boaz is. That's where Christ is. We need to be steadfastly minded to get where Christ is. Boaz was there. It was in Bethlehem, Judah, that Ruth spent the day with Boaz. That's in Bethlehem, Judah. You got to get to where Boaz is if you're going to spend the day with him. And that's in Bethlehem, Judah. Not only did she spend the day with him, she ended up spending the rest of her life with him. They were married. And that's a beautiful picture of Christ and his bride, Boaz and Ruth. There's many great truths in this story. Jesus, of course, is our Boaz. And we find him in Bethlehem, Judah. We ought to be steadfastly minded to get to where Christ is. We ought to be steadfastly minded to stay there. Never to leave. Never, ever leave. So in closing, Moab or Bethlehem, Judah. Those are the two places mentioned. Moab or Bethlehem, Judah. Two places could not be more different. Moab or Bethlehem, Judah. And like Ruth, we need to be steadfastly minded to get away from Moab. To get as far away from Moab as possible. And spend the rest of our life in Bethlehem, Judah. But many today who profess salvation, here's what they want to do. They want to live in Moab all week long and then make a quick trip on Sunday to Bethlehem, Judah, and then head back to Moab. It doesn't work that way. Ruth went to Bethlehem, Judah to live. And we ought to do the same, and we ought to be steadfastly minded in living there. God's place for us. So how do we determine? I mean, I think it's pretty easy to see if one is in Moab or in Bethlehem, Judah. But how do we determine? How do we measure which way we're headed? Am I headed toward Bethlehem, Judah, or am I headed toward Moab? Well, if you're headed toward Bethlehem, Judah, you're getting closer to Boaz. If you're getting closer to Christ, you're headed in the right direction. If you're not, you're headed in the wrong direction. It's pretty simple. Are you getting closer to Christ? As she got to Bethlehem, Judah, she enjoyed Boaz. Are we enjoying Jesus Christ? Do we enjoy Christ? Again, as Brother Larry was saying this morning, and it's true. It's very true. We become very ritualistic. And to the degree many times where we don't really enjoy the Lord. So we never now and then we have to stop and ask ourselves, am I enjoying the Lord? You can know a lot of truth, but are you enjoying the truth? Are you enjoying the Lord? Do you spend the day with Boaz? Do you spend the day with him? Is you really, and had she spent that day with him, and then of course that relationship deepened. She became his wife. Is our relationship deepening with Boaz? Those are not difficult questions to answer. You may not want to answer them, but they're really not difficult questions to answer. Am I getting closer to Jesus Christ? Am I spending more and more time with Jesus Christ? Or is he being crowded out? Is my relationship deepening? That's how we determine where we're living. Moab or Bethlehem, Judah. So we need to be steadfastly minded for God's best for us. God's best for us is not Moab. God's best for us is this life that is pictured in Canaan, in Bethlehem, Judah. That's God's best for us. And as we said this morning, it's right there. It's a land that is set before us. It's a land that is set before every child of God. Why? Why would we choose to go anywhere else? To go anywhere else is utter foolishness. It's nonsense. It's absolute insanity. To even desire to go anywhere else. You're not going to miss out on anything staying in God's best place. The house of bread. You're not going to miss anything. What's there to miss in Moab? There's nothing there. It's a place of emptiness. You miss when you go to Moab. You miss the blessings of Bethlehem, Judah. I find it hard to understand, and I've heard different ones try to explain it, but not enough to satisfy me. But why was Naomi so insistent on Orpah and Ruth staying in Moab? You would think that she would want them to come with her. But she was insistent that they stay away. Some will say, well, she was insistent because she wanted to make sure they were committed. I'm not so sure about that. Don't discard it, but I'm not so sure about that. God help us not to encourage anyone to go to Moab, but that we would always be an encouragement for people to follow us to Bethlehem, Judah. That we would never lead anyone to Moab. That we would never lead our families to Moab. Because here's what happened. Your children will settle there. They're going to take roots. And then you'll try to get them out, but it's too late. It's too late. Again, the problem with Lot was not getting out of Sodom and Gomorrah. The problem with Lot was getting Sodom and Gomorrah out of him. And that's how it is many times. God help us to be steadfastly minded to stay out of Moab and to live in Bethlehem, Judah, and to encourage one another to live there as well. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us first song.